KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Eggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
You are looking very European.
Let's clean this up a little bit.
There you go.
I don't know. The Europeans kicked us out.
Well, you should. You were there almost so long your visa ran out.
We saved them.
Did you?
We saved them in World War II.
Yeah, but when you were there, didn't Notre Dame burn down? Did you have anything to do with that?
I was there to go save it. I came in after.
Okay.
Hey, I had a little quick plan, but we're running out of time already. I got those push-ups in on my 50th birthday.
Did you?
We were really going to do it here on the floor.
Like a push-pop or a push-up?
No, they were real push-ups.
Really?
And I didn't think anybody would believe me, so Miss Kate recorded it. Do I have to put them?
No, I
put
50
down right now just to show
everyone?
I could
do a lot easier than you because I don't have so far to the ground anymore. Oh, geez, he's doing push-ups. They're not going to see it anyway. He's doing one.
Get Thomas on.
Can you save us from this? We got Thomas Larson from last week's NWT. He was the fourth place finisher.
Thomas, I didn't want to get all embarrassed and red-faced here for only getting 49.
My God, I was in the Army, and you'd have
early.
A big drill sergeant screaming at you. That was none.
They won't let me do it, Thomas. They won't let me do it. Thomas, you have broke into the scenes here. Real quickly in the National Walleye Tour, and the young guy here from Eastern South Dakota, fourth place finish last weekend.
Unbelievable!
Yeah,
I mean that
really
come out
good.
Of nowhere. I love that. I love seeing it from somebody from South Dakota make a name. I love that.
And even more, I think there was 5-6 boats in the top 10, with a North Dakota angler taking the hot spot. He'll be with us in a few minutes, but Thomas, what did you guys figure out that 165 other boats had really, really struggled
with? Lynn, it's simple. How to catch fish.
Okay. How'd you catch fish, Thomas?
Well, it worked out good for us. We were out on Main Lake Winnebago, and we had kind of been pulling cranks and stuff earlier in the week with a lot of other guys. The guys I was staying at the same house as Jared Fredericks, J.R. Carter, and Chris Walker, we were all just working and covering as far as we could, and that ended up being the way to go was those reefs on the main lake. And the water temp dropped a lot, so the guys who went out there the first day, we just I ended up slowing way down with just a slip bobber and also pitching a jig with half crawler, and it worked out.
No, a lot of guys say, well, you come out of nowhere. He was pretty lucky. How long did you guys stay on that lake before this tournament? How many days were you there?
The Friday before, so about a week.
There you go. You put some time in. You saw the lake change, and that's a pretty good deal.
You put some time in on some really rugged conditions. When we go out to fun fish around here in eastern South Dakota, we don't go out on most of those days, Thomas.
I'm glad I had my clam ice armor with me. I needed it. It was chilly and wet.
Between the clam ice armor, the blackfish, we were getting videos all week long from those that were using their rain gear and their snow gear. But explain how you got to the point of fishing a National Walleye Tour event from Esteline, South Dakota. We used to play them in basketball.
I've been doing the league night for probably 10 years, not quite that. I think about 8 years. Mike Doris is the one who set that up, and that's awesome competition for $20. You know, so anybody who wants to kind of get a foot in the door or start doing it, you know, I'd can't recommend the North League or South League enough. Both of them are run very well.
So you were fishing, Lake Ponset, Sinai, Some of the Cyania, I mean, some of the toughest.
Big stone, yeah.
Lake Madison.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never heard of anyone catching a walleye in Lake Madison, and that was one of those stops. And, I mean, you get into some really challenging bodies of water there when you're fishing that South League and the North League.
Yeah, definitely. That had a lot to do with it. And all the cool guys you meet, too. You know, I can name a ton. I even remember Lynn, you know, when Casey Baumgarn was running it, and I had an old boat, and, and he'd had three top 10, tour level finishes at that time. I think he told me good job one time and stuff. It's just little stuff like that. I feel really fortunate to have grown up around here, and definitely when those were, as successful as they were. And then I also guide for Jared Fredericks, and so he showed me a lot, and he also enabled me, to fish every day. And that helped me out a ton too. And then of course my dad and my family and stuff, I've been fishing with them now for a lot of years, my whole life. So.
And have you lived in the Esteline area for a few years?
I've lived there for, this will be my fourth year. And before that, I went to college at South Dakota State in Brookings. So I've been up in the area for, I think, around 9 years.
There's a lot of us that come through that South Dakota State, and we're pretty good people, Neil.
Yeah, I've heard that. I know nothing of this place.
Us Jackrabbits are really good people.
I didn't even know they had a school down there.
We can even catch a fish once in a while. I think it's because we have a lot of time between classes. Those classes aren't real tough.
Still, the class I passed at SDSU was fishing techniques.
Oh, that's good. Well, Tom... do you go by Thomas? Do you go by Tom, or you go by all the names? We thank you for joining us. We wish you the best on the next few.
Yep.
I would guess you're heading out to Green Bay. Are you going to run the rest of the circuit?
I wasn't planning on it, but.
But now you got the money.
Got
I got all my entry fee paid for. I think I'm
going
to go.
I can just hear Fredericks going, you got this many points. I mean, we're in this points race now. Yeah,
absolutely.
I guess I'll. I'm heading home this weekend and probably going to talk it over with my family and stuff and come up with a decision, but I'm thinking really hard about it.
Okay.
Good for you, Thomas.
All right, Thomas Larson, we appreciate the time you've spent with us here and On the Water in the Air. Over and out, my friend. Take care.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Right. Yep, from the South Dakota League.
Well, that's awesome.
And Randy's going to get Zach Axman on the line, but from fishing our little leagues here and hanging out and, learning these little subtleties, that's what it takes.
Zach Axman may be happy about winning the tournament, but I don't think there's anybody happier than Thomas Larson about getting fourth.
He's
pretty excited. That's a pretty cool story.
That is very tough to get into that top 10.
Oh, you beat out,
very,
I mean, there's some guys.
Very tough.
There's guys like Keith Cavias that who was that guy when he got fourth? That's pretty cool.
Well, and a lot of guides that work that water and fish that water. They know all those little spots. And a couple of those guides made it in that top 10. But there was tons of fishermen that have grown up on that Lake Winnebago system. And they weren't in that top 5 with these guys.
No, and partnering with Jared Fredericks. I don't know Thomas all, but I fished around Jared enough. He can find fish. I mean,
he's got a nose for it. I mean, you put that many minds together, and then as we'll hear from Zach Axman, you kind of put that water temperature going down 10, 12 degrees in 1 week. Zach Axman, good morning to you. We're not going to let any cat out here. We're gonna let you explain to us, and we're first of all going to congratulate you on some amazing, amazing decisions and some great fishing on Lake Winnebago last weekend in Wisconsin.
Thank you. Good morning, guys.
We had Thomas Larson who finished fourth, and kind of interesting. These Dakota boys, they weren't afraid to pull out their slip bobbers, the way it sounds.
Swing for the fence.
Yeah, you know, and what's funny about that is I fully rigged 4 rods specifically for slip bobber, and it was before I got there. It wasn't just something that came out of thin air. You go to Winnebago, it fishes a lot like Devil's Lake. So, you kind of put that in the back of your mind, and I've been there, that would have been my third time, We've always caught them on slip bobbers there, just nothing consistent like this tournament.
Well, so. And probably a lot of the smaller ones, and, you know, so it's just that's what a person has to do once in a while. I was talking to my friend here, Neil Jensen. He goes, oh, Lynn, I just have a tough time pulling them slip bobbers out. I just don't have confidence in it. Well, tell us about being confident with slip bobbers.
And, to you know, it was one of those deals. I found the spot at 8:30 in the morning on Tuesday, waiting for my buddy at the dock. I just said, I'm going to run around and bobber these rocks. And went to the first two, didn't have a bite, went to the third one, which ended up being the spot, and, you know, caught two fish and go, okay, I got my starting spot. Went and picked him up at the dock, and then all we did is proceed to try and find a nice little milk run from that spot from the landing and back. So, you know, when I went into day one, I told my day one co-angler, Daniel, I said, I don't know if I can get five fish off of this spot, but I'm hoping we can get two or three because I think I can junk fish my way back to a limit.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, that spot was way better than I ever anticipated.
You know, when you started finding these shallow rock spots, I mean, you know, in the day, only the locals knew where all these spots were. Did the mapping help you? What helped you find, you know, start finding all these milk runs, which you didn't end up needing? But you know what? You needed the third spot within a few minutes on that practice morning. I mean,
yep. So what I did is once you know, just like everybody else, we found fish trolling shallow rocks, and so once I found the consistent bite on the bobber bite, it was just a matter of zooming out on my Lowrance and finding, okay, here's shallow rocks, and just literally laying waypoints all the way down and just kind of hitting them all the way back.
So what do you think, why do you think the fish held in this spot? Was it a cup in the rocks? Was it a point in the rocks? Was there some subtleties, or was it just working enough spots to get the right one?
You know, I think it had more to do with there was a little bit of current coming through it. They were dumping out of the river to the north, coming, and there had to have been leeches on there because the second fish I caught there, once it hit the bottom of the boat, it puked up, I bet, 30 leeches on the bottom of my boat. And so you knew the forage was there. You knew what they were doing. And like I said, I didn't know what that spot held until day one. And then it was kind of, I kept a couple fish I shouldn't have, but the bite was tough. And yeah. I wasn't going to come in without a limit. And,
yeah.
You know what? I was off the water at 12:30 sitting at the dock going, God, did I really make, you know, did I make a mistake by keeping that first fish or not? But
so, you know, really, Zach, that just shows that even though water temperature drops, the bite gets very, very challenging for 166 boats. All of a sudden you throw one in the bottom of the boat and it'd been gorging itself. Mm-hmm. So a walleye, if it's got food, it's going to eat. When you describe coming out of the river, is that the main river right there at what is it, Oshkosh? Is that the main river?
No,
and then you were up north from there?
I was about 10 miles north of the launch.
Okay.
We were, yep.
Okay, so is that another river up there, or were these fish just coming out of that main river and just searching the shorelines all the way along there?
No, it's a river coming out of there, and you know those fish dump out of there, and that's what they're looking for. They're coming back to the main lake to feed. You know, I spent 2 days pre-fishing the upper lake, and we didn't see any bait fish up there at all. We'd find some fish, couldn't get on a consistent bite, but when we got back to the main lake, all of a sudden we started seeing some bait fish and, you know, stuff like that. So that's what really turned us. I mean, we went from thinking we had to fish the upper lakes to we're not wasting our time up there.
Yeah, yeah. When you say we, is that just a friend that you have in your boat or working?
No.
Working with another friend, or
yeah, I teamed with Mike Leonard-Doozy and Randy Gein. So, you know, we sit down at the end of every practice day and go through and, you know, figure out, you know, break down as much water as we can. And, I mean, we definitely figured it out.
Well, yeah, Randy Gaines, didn't he end up in, like, second, third place, a Lake Erie fisherman? An Ohio fisherman?
Yeah, he ended up in third, and Mike ended up, I think, in 32nd.
Gee, that's so cool.
Unbelievable.
That is so cool. I was kind of wondering how a Lake Erie fisherman, you know, he's still quite a ways from Winnebago. It's not that bad of a drive, but other than, you know, if you've been there to fish previous tournaments, your experience from a Great Lakes fisherman to a natural lake is kind of interesting.
It's a tough
transition. I was kind of wondering how Randy, you know, what he did and how, and you know, so that's really behind the scenes stuff. But it's really important that those that are thinking about running out and doing this, building that relationship and not burning bridges is pretty important in this game.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So the business end, I mean, I listened to a few of the little subtleties that you may have found in practice or you found during the two tournament days. What are some of those things that you may have done differently than the other 165 boats?
You know, the biggest thing was just listening to what the fish wanted. Whenever I set up my bobber rods, I use a 7.6 HMG in a medium light. And the reason for that is a lot of the times if you don't bobber fish a lot, a lot of people set the hook on the bobber because we're so programmed to setting the hook on any little resistance or anything like that. So that helps get through it. But the big thing was, I always start with at least two jigs and two plain hooks or three jigs and one plain hook. Well, on day one, the first fish we caught was on a plain hook, and it absolutely inhaled it. And so as, you know, the first hour and a half went on and I caught another one on it, I completely reeled in all my bobbers and switched them all out to plain hooks. That's what they wanted. We didn't get a fish on them. On a jig the entire time, pitching or on a bobber.
Wow.
And we tried. I mean, we tried pitching them off the front of the boat the first day just to see if the bigger fish were on the backside, or, you know, the deep water or what, but they wanted it as slow as possible and they wanted it in their face. We were fishing our leeches so tight to the bottom that the bobber wouldn't go all the way down. It would just kind of, you know, just bounce and then just hold. And uh-huh. So I would let them eat it for, you know, a good 15 to 30 seconds, you know, just to make sure that they got it all the way in their mouth.
So one of my friends, Brad Davis, used to say you'd have to, you know, smoke about a half a cigarette before you set the hook.
Yep.
Creek jumps up a Cass Lake.
You were just taking a couple puffs.
Nope. Let him eat it. Yep. Let him eat it.
I love Brad Davis. He was in this tournament too. I keep an eye on him all the time. But I've been keeping an eye on you too, Zach. The last few years, just your time on Devil's Lake. This isn't just an accident, everyone. This has been a work in progress with you, your dad, and others, right?
Yeah, I mean, I gotta give a big shout out to my dad. I wouldn't be here without him because we'd still be fishing the MWC. But he just said, you know, you need to make the jump, and you know, so last year I made the jump and fished it by myself and, you know, had a respectable showing at Devil's Lake, which was, I mean, it was expected, but going into this one, this I can say was totally not expected. It was just everything aligned and, you know, like you said, it was the subtle change in the water temp dropping and making the adjustments. And, you know, in the last 2 years, that's what I'd have to give credit to my success to, is being able to make those adjustments that I wasn't, say, 4 years ago, you know, making them on the fly.
Good deal.
That is so true. In the last couple minutes, I mean, a lot of the fishermen listening to the show are able maybe to get out one day every 2 weeks, one day a week, and don't have the time to put in. It's always good to help them with a little tip based on what you learned there and based on other things. Would you give us just a quick little rundown on something that would help this everyday fisherman? And then tell us in the last 30 seconds here some of the people that you'd like to say thank you to.
You know, the biggest thing is whenever I go to a new body of water, it's always about doing homework. I mean, I don't think there's been a night since, you know, last Saturday, I haven't looked at a Green Bay map trying to figure out, you know, these are some of the spots. And that's the biggest thing is, you know, talk to people, find out what's working, what's not, and then, you know, refine it to, you know, to your strength, fish your strength. You know, if you got confidence in something, that's going to go a long way to catching fish.
Yeah.
You know, that's the biggest thing. I get messages now on Facebook all the time, you know, what's your biggest tip for a new person fishing tournaments or this, and that's it. Put the time in, you know, listen to everything. There's every little piece of information anybody can give you is a piece to the puzzle, and you just got to use it to your advantage.
Yes, and thank a few people here. Zach, that'd be great.
Well, first and foremost, I've already thanked my dad, but I got to thank him again, and my family and my girlfriend who push me constantly every time I go out. I got to thank, you know, Ranger Boats, Yamaha Outboards, Berkeley Fishing, Mortsport Marine in Mandan, who is the dealer. Anytime I have any issues, they are on top of it and get me back on the water as fast as possible, you know. And I gotta thank Randy and Mike. I mean, it's an individual outcome, but it's definitely a team effort. And I mean, it shows.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we've had Zach Axman on from Rugby, North Dakota.
The center of the world.
The center of the world.
North America or something like that.
Yep.
Right out there in farm country. Thank you, Zach, for joining us today. We appreciate the time that you spent with us. We're going to say goodbye and send this over to Randy Grimes for another week of On the Water, In the Air. Thank you for joining us.